This is Taking On Sports, where you'll find the best takes on all of the sports stories that need to be taken on. Like today, myself, Brad Gressens, and Mitchell Thomas, we dive into college football. There seems to be a lot of changes on the horizon, new rule changes, and a possible college football playoff scenario that only opened up the biggest can of worms that we've ever opened. College football season may be over, but there's always something to talk about when it comes to the college gridiron. And Mitchell Thomas joins me today, and we've got a few things to talk about. A couple of rule changes that look like they're going to be in, ones that very much are in reaction to Michigan, and a couple of other just kind of minor changes. So, Mitch, do you want to start with the major or start with the minor?
You know what? Let's start with the minor. Let's save the best for last.
Alrighty, then we'll start with the minor. Let's start with the minorest of minors, and that is that it does look like college football is going to add a two-minute warning. This is for one thing and one thing only. It's in more advertising space to be able to play commercials. I mean, there's nothing in this that is good for necessarily the sport itself, right?
Oh, most definitely not. I mean, Andy was the one that brought it up in our group chat, but last year they made rule changes to make sure that the clock didn't stop on a first down except for the last 2 minutes in the second and fourth quarter. And that was used to speed up the game. That was something that they stressed entirely in the entire offseason. And then they just go ahead and they want to add a two-minute warning to squeeze in more commercials. I mean, it's just a joke. Honestly, nothing the NCAA does or will ever do in the near future will make any sense whatsoever. So obviously it's becoming more like the NFL, and I like it when there are differences between the college team and the NFL team.
Yeah.
Two-minute warning can stay in the NFL. College doesn't need it.
No, this has strictly got to be for TV networks. This had to be in the latest deals with TV networks, is that there would be a two-minute warning so they could sell more advertising space. You know, CBS getting Big Ten rights, the ESPN paying for those SEC rights. This had to be in there that, hey, you have to add another advertising slot for us because there's no strategy built into the two-minute warning. None. In fact, it just adds to more standing around because of the two-minute warning we see so much in the NFL. The minute you get under 3 minutes and a half, all coaches are looking to do is to get to that two-minute warning to get a free timeout. And so it takes away that minute of play, but it's neither here nor there. It's really not a huge deal, I guess, but it's a slight annoyance, especially with the point that you brought up, that they spent forever. I mean, going out of bounds now, there's no guarantee the clock stops in, you know, with certain situations. And yeah, with the pace of play rules that they've put in with the first down, now all of a sudden we're slowing down the game again with a two-minute warning, another 2.5-minute commercial break that we really don't need. So next up is they are going to allow, this kind of ties into some of the other things we're going to talk about, but just in general, they're going to have, you know, tablets on the sideline and during halftime. That's fine. You have communication. Now you don't have to see the offensive coordinator, whoever it is, with a printout of the plays that they just ran. It made it look like it was 1985. So, you know, tablets on the sideline, that's fine. It's smart. It gets us in the 21st century.
It does make a whole lot of things easier, and now we probably won't get to see as many of those grad assistants holding up the signs of just random stuff, like a McDonald's logo one way, and then like Jim Harbaugh, you know, when he was in the summer camp, just catching a football, no shirt on or anything, in one of the logos or anything. So that's probably going to be going away, unfortunately, but I mean, it just makes everything a whole lot easier.
It really does. So then let's get into, there's two major things. One that looks like it's going to happen. One that probably will eventually happen. And let's get into the helmet communication side of things. The play calls will be able to come in from the sideline to the quarterback and to the leader of the defense instantly. It'll probably be the same rule the NFL has where the clock, the communication turns off at 15 seconds on the play clock, and then your players are on their own. So this is clearly, I mean, clearly in direct correlation to Michigan's sign-stealing scandal, which I was very critical of during the season. But if this was this easy to change, why was this not in there in the first place? This feels like the NCAA, the reason this didn't exist, even though it had a possibility, is because they wanted to feel, they liked that idea of all the signals on the sideline. They thought it added some type of amateurism. I'm sure that's what they're going to go to, is this makes it much more professional, and we don't do that. Really, I can't come up with a good reason this hasn't existed in the past.
Yeah, I mean, you bring up the amateurism kind of thing. That whole argument just flew out the window ever since NIL got implemented, and there are hardly any regulations for it. I mean, you got grad transfers, people in the portal arriving the signing day on Lamborghinis just because they commit to Ole Miss and everything like that. So,
yeah,
obviously, that whole charade is finally gone. But, I mean, Nick Saban said it himself during the prep for the Rose Bowl that, I mean, if you don't want this to happen, it's really a simple fix. Just have that in-helmet communication up in the booth. Have someone talk to the quarterback for X amount of time and then, you know, let it run from there. I mean, it's really a simple fix. It should have been done a while ago. That's what all the other coaches were saying too, that they've been asking for it for however long. And then now, you know, we all saw the uproar with the whole sign stealing thing. So this makes it a whole lot easier to, you know, mitigate that from happening again.
Exactly. And it's just a joke. It just adds how the NCAA is a joke. They refuse to put any regulations into NIL because they're mad that schools wanted name, image, and likeness, that they're saying, well, it's your problem. We're not touching it. You know, fine, you can have it, but we're not going to help. And so now with this too, it just is a joke, and it adds to the NCAA being a joke that this has been there forever, and it takes an uproar of Michigan getting caught stealing signs for them to go, oh, well, I guess now we'll do it. And the fact that it was this easy to add in, and this is according to On3, that they're going to be adding all of these things we've talked about in. So take that as you will, that it probably is coming. On3 is a relatively reputable source. So if these things do end up showing up, if in-helmet communication is on the field in 2024, in September of 2024, I mean, it just becomes so frustrating as a Michigan fan that this could have been, you could have probably added this in the middle of the season and somehow made it work. And all of these things where if sign stealing was being brought up, if people thought sign stealing was a problem, it probably was before Michigan got caught. It's not, I guarantee you Michigan wasn't the first one to have this brought up. And so it took until the media got a hold of it. It took until it became a national story for this to actually make a change, because the NCAA continues to show they will never make a change for the betterment of the game. It's only until enough players complained about NIL, and now until there finally was a big enough sign-stealing scandal in order to actually make something happen.
I mean, you talked about that entire rule where you can't send scouts to opponent stadiums to watch them play their games. The only reason why that rule was implemented in the first place is because all the smaller schools didn't have the budget to send assistants or anything to their opponent's games to watch them play.
Right.
So it wasn't necessarily like, you know, watching, I mean, like a competitive advantage. It was just that the NCAA wanted to help those smaller schools like UMass, North, South, East, Central, Florida, all those schools kind of get on a level playing field. But then again, college football will never have a competitive level, competitive playing field when you have, you know, what's going on in the NIL and everything they can't even, those smaller schools cannot compete with what the big boys are now doing legally. It hasn't been, they weren't doing it before. They just started recently doing, you know, all the NIL charades of giving out cars and handing out bags of money. This has just started past couple of years. It hasn't been an ongoing thing. Never has been and never will be.
No, never was. That's why it was such a seamless transition for so many of these schools. That's why the minute it became legal, all of a sudden it happened so quickly. It's almost like they knew how to do it. But with the sign-stealing scandal at Michigan, and if helmet communication does become a thing, there's no way that they could vacate the title, right?
I mean, there wasn't any way they were vacating the title to begin with. I will die on that hill. Because you saw how they played, you know, after everything came up.
Right.
They beat Alabama, they beat Ohio State, and then they beat Washington for a natty. And only two of those games were close. The natty wasn't even close. Ohio State and Alabama was. Those were competitive games. But, you know, they still pulled away. And, you know, the way Michigan has played, you know, in the past, they weren't able to win those close, tight-knit, huge games. And then they were able to do that, you know, Sherrone Moore against Ohio State, and then Harbaugh when he came back in the Rose Bowl and for the Natty.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think that there wasn't really a chance this gets vacated anyway. I think the NCAA would have wanted to just sweep this under the rug. They wouldn't have wanted to bring this back up. It's not like the Joe Paterno situation or Reggie Bush's Heisman where the NCAA wanted that to be out there and they wanted to make sure that that was in the limelight. They're going to want to get rid of this Michigan story as quickly as possible and move on to next season. And with Nick Saban and Jim Harbaugh out of college football now, I think they're really going to be looking to move on because they've got a new face that they have to replace. I mean, Nick Saban was the face of the sport, and now either Kirby Smart's got to take it, somebody's going to have to step up and be the face of the sport now that Nick Saban's out, and of course the reigning champions Michigan replacing Jim Harbaugh with Sherrone Moore. But I don't think that the title will be vacated. This, I think, adds to it. I think that it's going to be a story for a long time. It's going to be taught in college courses about the, when you think about sports history classes, is going to be Michigan winning the title, directly leading to helmet communication being put in. All of these things that have happened, the last time there was a sign-stealing scandal was 7 years ago with the Houston Astros in 2017. That changed the way baseball looks at technology during games. That changed the way baseball really was played, and it now Michigan is probably going to change the way college football has been played. These scandals actually have a way of advancing the sport. Now, I am not happy with what Michigan did. I still don't condone what Michigan did, but I also agree with you. They weren't stealing signs against Ohio State and beyond. They still won those games. They still were the best team in the country this year. I think you can put that out there. Even with Georgia lost to Alabama, Michigan beat Alabama. I think you can still say Michigan's the best team in the country with or without the sign-stealing scandal. But this, I mean, this is just hilarious. That's what this is, adding the helmet communication. So let's transition now to another story. This one, The Athletic had this story out there. A couple of other places had this story out there. So the college football playoff is going to expand to 12 this season. But there have been thoughts of it advancing to 14. So just before we even get into the specifics, how do you feel about 14?
I mean, I really think we need to see how the 12-team playoff format plays out. We've had four teams for a decade, and then now it took them this far to advance how many more teams we're adding. And then they just want to go way too fast and then just expand, add a couple more teams. Pretty soon, in a couple years, it's going to be like 40 teams based on if they want to keep this rate, how it's going. I want to see 12 teams for at least like 5 years, see how it plays out, see how the conferences react to, all these rule changes and, Just want to see how it all plays out in its entirety for now.
I'm with you. I think that it should stay at 12. I thought 12 was a good number. I think that adding it to 14 and adding buys and adding just all sorts of complications is unnecessary because what you'd think if you have 14, the top two seeds would get a bye and that everybody else would have to play right away because it becomes the NFL model because they have 14 teams make the playoffs. So it would add some intrigue to the top two, but when you get into the conference stuff, it's not stuff I want to get into. It's not something that I really want to be as part of this playoff. I want the 12 best teams to play. I think it should be the five best conference champions, and then the next seven best teams. And I'm good with all their, now it's top four conference champions and the next eight best teams. And let's get this thing going from there. Then you can add in Notre Dame or something like that. But the idea is, and I'm not sure if people saw this, but if you go to The Athletic, one idea that's being put out there, this has not been decided on, is a 3-3-2-2-1 model. So three teams from the new Mega Big Ten and SEC would make the playoff no matter what. Two teams from the ACC and the Big 12 would make the playoff no matter what. And one group of five team would make the playoff no matter what. And just right away, I don't like that. There have been years now, I know the Big Ten has added Oregon and Washington and USC, but there's going to be years where there aren't three teams that deserve to be in. Washington's not going to have a great football program every single year. Heck, we don't know if Michigan's going to have great football programs. Ohio State and USC, USC is only just recently come back to prominence. You don't know if there's three teams that actually deserve to be in. The SEC will probably have three teams that you can convince yourself every single year. Then the Big 12 just added a bunch of teams. Why aren't they included in the three? Why are the Big Ten and the SEC the ones who get three? The Big 12 just added a bunch of teams. I understand the ACC, but the Big 12 just added a bunch of teams. And then where does Notre Dame fit into all of this? I don't like Notre Dame. But can they only get in if they're the highest ranked, team not from the Big Ten, SEC, ACC, or Big 12? Is that the only way they get in? Where if a team like, in years past, Cincinnati, or now you could even look back at Boise State, if they're ranked above Notre Dame can't get in, even if they're the number eight team in the country? Right now, I just think that this leads us down a bad road.
Yeah, if that proposal goes through, it just obviously does not make any sense. Because if you have three automatic bids from the Big Ten, like you said, most of the time, Big Ten's going to have three teams ranked highly enough that would be able to make it into a playoff. But if you just have three automatic bids, that just goes away with the conference championship even meaning anything.
Right. And I just don't like it sorted by conference like this. If you want to split college football into two conferences, just East West, and do it that way, where it allows for a bigger sample size, but you tell me that three out of the 20 teams in the Big Ten, or when they get to 20, because I'm sure eventually they will, but what is it, 18, 19 right now? Three out of the 18 teams in the Big Ten will make the playoffs? I have a one out of six chance of making the playoff literally just because I'm in the Big Ten? That's a ridiculous notion. That's not something that should exist. And if I'm a team that's, there are years in this where the Big 12 is going to have three really good teams, and the third best Big 12 team would easily beat the third best Big 10 team, and yet they're not going to make the playoff. That's absolutely dumb. This shouldn't be sorted by conference when you're having this small of numbers.
Yeah, with this model, it just proves that there's going to be the big two power conferences and the Big Ten and the SEC, and everyone else can just fuck off. In all honesty, it's just ridiculous if this rule just goes into effect. Just absolutely, it changes what we love about college football: competitiveness every single year. You don't know, which team's going to be the best, and then once the games get played, then you can decide, who deserves to be in the playoff. If you just have three automatic bids, then I mean, like I said before, the conference championship doesn't mean shit. And then if you get two auto bids, you could turn like into the NFL even more in the last couple games of the regular season, probably the last game of the regular season, where you just rest your starters if you're automatically guaranteed that top three seeding. So that last game doesn't matter. You just turn into the NFL and just sit everyone last game. And then it's just stupid. I hate that part of the NFL. I mean, it makes sense. You want to rest for the playoffs, but I just don't want to see that in college football. It needs to be different from the NFL. We're getting too similar to the pros.
Yeah, could you imagine a Michigan-Ohio State game this past year where J.J. McCarthy doesn't play?
I mean, yeah, we get a lot of orgy in the end zones, but I still want to see J.J. out there. Like, I just hate it. I really hope this doesn't go through.
That's such a great point that I never thought of, is that the end of the season becomes worthless if you're somebody like Michigan and Ohio State, who they were guaranteed to be the top two teams in the Big Ten this past year. It didn't matter outside of it. And that's one thing about this switching to the new Big Ten is, you know, like this past year, there would have been just a rematch of Michigan-Ohio State the next week in the Big Ten championship game. And I'm fine with that. I think that that won't happen every year, but in the last couple of years, it would have happened, and that would have been pretty cool. And if you're taking away the intrigue in either of those games, think about what if you are CBS, who now owns the main rights to the Big Ten, how pissed you are at that. How much you're looking at that going, now, wait a minute. I paid how much money for the Big Ten, and you're telling me that the biggest game in the Big Ten no longer matters because it's played at the end of the year, every single year, and there are going to be years that that wouldn't matter. You're right. That's an absolutely ridiculous thing to do. And there's too many good college football teams that pop up every now and then when you are going to expand to 12 or 14 teams. There's a new team in the top 10 every single year. Heck, the SEC usually has four or five teams in the top 10. The SEC gets absolutely screwed by this model. Now, as much as I'm an SEC hater, I root against the SEC. I root against them because I know they're the best. I understand that they have the best players. Georgia, Alabama. And then every single year, watch out for LSU, Tennessee, for Florida. Somebody's going to jump up. Texas, Oklahoma, Texas A&M. You tell me that only three of those teams get to make the playoff now? That's an absolutely stupid notion. If you're going to get into a model like this, you're going to have a separate playoff between the SEC and the Big Ten.
I mean, one person that absolutely loves this rule would be James Franklin, because he gets an automatic playoff bid every single year.
He's just competing against the Big Ten West.
Yeah, honestly.
Yeah, with the introduction of USC and Oregon, we'll see how Penn State does. How James Franklin's going to do with USC and Oregon in the conference. Can he hang on to that third spot in the Big Ten every single year and just never make a Big Ten championship game? Or is he actually going to have to win some games, because that's something that he absolutely has not done? But this just tells me, if they're even thinking about 12 to 14, we've thought about this, we talked about this 5 minutes ago, or at least brought it up. This is eventually going to become a 32-team playoff, isn't it?
I mean, I really believe so. I don't know how you can at this rate. I mean, if you're just going to have three auto bids from your two biggest conferences, I mean, you got to include everyone else. They're all going to get super pissed off like we're trying to right now. We're all Big Ten guys. We should be happy for this, I guess. But, I mean, as a whole for the playoff, I don't think it's that good.
No.
So, I mean, you kind of have to expand to get those other teams in.
You'd have to. You'd have to bring it up, and maybe you can make the conference championship games the part of the first round of the playoff, where if you make your conference title game, you are in the playoff. That's something you could do at the four major conferences. But after that, then it should be, that would be eight teams. Then it should just be, you know, the 24 best teams after that, or the 16 best teams after that, whatever it is that you can make it work. But that's the only way I can see this making any sense, is if you're going to do a model where you include teams based on conference, You have to get 14 is not enough. 14 isn't enough if you're going to have a model based on conference. And I go back to Notre Dame. If Notre Dame has to somehow every single year be the highest non-power conference, it's going to force Notre Dame into a conference, isn't it? And I want them to join a conference, but also I understand the appeal for them and for college football of Notre Dame historically, traditionally, always being an independent.
I mean, yeah, with the rate this is going, you kind of have to join a league, whether that be the ACC or the Big Ten. I don't know where else Notre Dame can go from here. If they just want to stay independent, then they just have to bank on, you know, pretty much winning out, maybe two losses at the most in order to make this advanced playoff format.
And if this format comes in, would teams in the ACC and the Big 12 try and join the SEC and the Big 10 to try and get that third spot? Would Clemson try and join the Big 10? Would Florida State again push harder to go to the SEC, or do you think they would stick around?
No, I feel like they would want to become part of the Big 2.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what we're going towards. It's something that I don't think is going to happen. I've always said when people say, oh, it's just going to be the SEC and the Big Ten, I was like, no, there's always going to be a third power conference. I think the ACC could end up going away, but I think there will always be the Big 12, I think, will always be there. The Big Ten, the Big 12, the SEC. I think those will be the three conferences we have forever, or at least until the next iteration of college football comes out, which, let me tell you guys, in 100 years, when there's another seismic shift in the way, if it even takes that long, college football gets played, someone's going to have the novel idea of breaking these conferences up into smaller conferences based on geographics. I'm telling you right now, it's going to happen.
It's going to be a big cycle just starting right where we're at right now.
It's going to be based on geography. And what they're going to do is they're going to make it more like a pro model, and they're going to have a college football commissioner. There's going to be a legitimate league in college football. It's not going to be just run by something like the NCAA. That's all of this is where we're going. When you start making the conferences matter for playoff entry, and not just, oh, winning a conference matters, but when you make which specific conference you're in matters, you're causing more chaos, and it's going to lead to the eventual needing to start a legitimate league, almost semi-professional league of college football, and then break everybody up. Everybody gets equal shot, have a schedule maker, and it goes right. And it only is set up by record. And that's where you eventually have to get to, where you go to the pro model where there is no rankings. It's just by record.
Yeah, I mean, you said nothing but absolute facts. I hate that. Becoming the Big Two, the Big Two is probably going to have subdivisions.
Yeah.
Where you have, you know, Washington, Oregon, USC, UCLA in the west part of the Big Ten. And then you have your north with the Michigan, Minnesota, and you're just going to have to start dividing it. Like, we literally had a good format, and now all these conferences are just becoming power hungry. They want to have all the power with all these stupid media deals. And it's just so, so confusing and just so irritating as a fan. It's becoming ridiculous. I don't know what else to say at this point.
You're really going to have to do one of two things. And it's either do what I just said with the model of the going with a pro league type thing, or you're going to have to do the college basketball model, and you're going to have a tournament at the end that includes a ton of teams where everybody is going to get a shot, where you're going to maybe you separate into a bunch of different leagues where you mentioned a Big Ten West and whatever they end up calling the Big Ten. I hope they change the name eventually. But the Big Ten West, which might have, let's say 5 years from now, might have 8 teams in that Big Ten West and 8 teams in the Big Ten Central, 8 teams Big Ten South, and every single one of those has one automatic bid to a 64-team college football playoff. You play 10 games in a season, and there's just regular season champion makes it, and all of these things. That's where we're going. We're coming up with hypotheticals because of one simple change of moving from 12 to 14 and then basing it on conferences. And I hope that they're realizing that, because if you just leave it at 12 with the way it is right now, with just the top four, the Power Four conference champions, and then the next eight, you know, the Power Four conference champions, a group of five conference champion, and then, you know, then it would be the next seven. We're okay. Everything will be okay. But it's after that that you start to have a problem. College football is our, like, first love. It is what you and I built a friendship on, is college football. And I don't like the direction it's going in if you're bringing up ideas like this.
Yeah, so, I mean, I wasn't really, you know, thinking how much shit NCAA could be here in the near future, but all of us now just talking about these scenarios, and I'm just shitting my pants at this point. I don't know what to expect here in the next couple of years. I'm starting to freak out.
It's a slippery slope, 100%. If you do one thing, advancing from 4 to 12 makes sense, but it's all based on the conferences. That's it. If you start to mess with those where conferences get auto bids, it's going to become a problem.
And then if you bring up a 64-team playoff, then we're just going to have a two-game regular season.
Yeah.
Because, you know, NFL is quite a vicious sport. You can't be playing all too many games. And right now, 15 is a pretty big number, and it's going to be going up to 17 at the most next year, maybe. You know, if you make the playoff as a lower seed.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, you're going to have to play a lot of – you're going to have to start playing football in July.
It's going to be touch football here soon at this point.
It really is. Teams are going to have multiple quarterbacks to get through a season of 22 games that, you know, we're suggesting. It's all coming up. And football – you're going to hit a breaking point at some point. I don't know what it is, and I don't know if we're going to revert back to geographics or what, but we've got a long way to go to fix this sport, and just the fact that these ideas are being tossed out means that we're heading into a world of chaos because nobody knows what they're doing, and the conferences have all the power. And the NCAA, well, they have none whatsoever. Find Taking On Sports on social media. Find us both on Facebook, and you can find us on Twitter as well. Share our stuff around, because if you like us, well, that means that your friends and family, they will too. Mitch, appreciate it, my friend, as we head into the great unknown. I'm Brad Gressens. We're Taking On Sports.